How far are you from Miami?
Driving away from the wreck of the day, and the lights always red in the rearview. Desperately close to a coffin of hope, I cheat destiny just to be near you.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Take Point 22 right here live on the Trim Radio Network. And we broadcast live all over the world. So come on over to the Trim Radio Network where you can buy merchandise. You can text us right off of our main page. And if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, it's real simple. All you have to do is message us and we'll show you how simple it is right after that. The opinions expressed by my host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. We have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. Just no cussing, no cursing, but you can call in, give us your opinion. We'd love to hear it. And that song right there, Wreck of the Day, Ann and Alec, that's covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. And without further ado, I have a special guest on tonight, the great and the one and only Jerry Hall. Jerry, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I am doing absolutely wonderful, my man. Doing absolutely.
You're looking great.
I'm feeling much better. You know, I switched medications. They put me on hydroxychloroquine, and it's made all the difference in the world. And I had long COVID. I do not have that anymore. So it's working.
Well, that's good. That's, you know, the best part is that you're feeling better. I am, you know, my biggest concerns is with all the, you know, the vaccinations, all the stuff that's starting to come out about people that have been vaccinated. It's always scary a little bit. You know, it depends on which shot you got too, and whether you took all the boosters.
Right. And I did. I did three. So I won't make that mistake and do that ever again. I'm, you know, after finding out what we found out, and we found out the truth and, you know, money trails and everything else, that was it for me. You lose faith and you lose, you don't like getting lied to.
Well, you know, the other issues, when you've got health issues, you tend to follow the path that thinks, you know, that you think is the right move, especially when you've got health issues. Fortunately, I didn't have any health issues. So I think I got COVID. I was down for about 3 weeks, but all I did is I just didn't want to get out of bed. That could have been just boredom.
Yeah, that's about what it does to everybody. So
tonight we're going to talk about AI, right?
Absolutely. And you know, it's so scary because, and I have a little personal experience with this. I got onto this AI chat, this GTP chat, and I got on there and I wanted to check it out and I wanted to ask it questions and see the answers. But one of the things that I noticed, you know, and of course everybody wants to check it out, I see this as an inherently dangerous type of piece of software that could go very, very wrong. And of course, that's my opinion. But after discussing a lot of this with it, it was very, very spooky. I would ask it questions such as, you know, is AI a danger to humanity? And of course, it would come back with this generic response that, no, you know, the way AI is set up, it basically broke down everything. The way it's set up is that, but it put everything in a perspective, which scared me even more. First, it had the stockholders. They were number one. Then it had creators. They were number two. Investors, number three. And then the general, or politicians, number three. Then the general public. And it had it in that order. It was layered in that order every time. And as I was looking through this for every question that I asked, so I said, is it a danger to humanity? No, our programming doesn't allow us to do that or whatever. And much time has been taken so that it won't happen. I said, then how do we have some of the accidents that we've happened with AI? We hope that, you know, the stockholders and investors are, you know, displaying, and the creators are displaying everything that is safe for humanity and everything. I said, well, what if they're corrupt? Then it started breaking down the hypotheticals. Once you started getting into the what if, and it said, yes, it could be a danger. Could it take over? I mean, it was unbelievable. Well, due to our thing, the way it's set up, and it kept going back and forth, repeating back again, you know, that hopefully mankind does the right thing. But there is always a possibility. And
well, you always look at everything. You know, everything is money-based. If someone thinks they can use it to their monetary benefit, like manipulating the stock prices, which they could use, because you take a look at what's going on with the New York Stock Exchange is set up for an automatic shutdown based on artificial intelligence that says if there's a run on the stock market, it stops it. Okay, well, that's artificial intelligence. What if that artificial intelligence quits working or goes, hey, let's start a run on the stocks. Let's see if we can crash the stock market and destroy the U.S. economy, which could be easily manipulated from, you know, a foreign government.
The world economy.
Exactly.
It could affect everything. It could affect, and I don't think that people realize how dangerous this thing is, the inherent danger. But it could control banks, the monies, the stock market, indexes for everything. It can utterly destroy everything, which would destroy food production, electricity, if it shuts it off, if it decided to do whatever. Because remember, this thing's a machine. So it has the potential of tapping into every single aspect of our comfortable lives.
Well, you take into consideration that this is software can dictate that it's perfection, that it's perfect, and that we are imperfect. And therefore, it's got to try and correct us and modify us so that we're perfect too. And that's where the AI becomes scary, because that's kind of like the Terminator movie where the artificial intelligence got so smart, it said, wait a minute, the human race is an imperfection. It's a virus on us, so we need to kill it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly, you know, what could easily transpire. You take in consideration, you know, like people going for dialysis. That a machine could literally go, you know what? We need to just
shut that off. Yeah.
And be done. And the computer is programming it. I mean, that's the scary part. We're getting so lazy, and it really boils down to lazy, that we get to the point where, well, this needs to take care of that, this needs to take care of that. It's like, okay, in my house is all automated for lights, TV set, air conditioning. All these features are all automated. Well, guess what? It's listening to me all the time to ask me, you know, then it's because I'm lazy. I want to lay in my bedroom and turn my kitchen light off, okay?
Give me an L, give me an A, give me a Z.
Yeah, you know? And so we get this level of laziness that we're counting on artificial intelligence to understand our spoken word and do our command. And what if it just gets ticked off one day and goes, you know, screw you, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, but think about it, cameras, everything else. I mean, it could get out of control of everything. And because it's such a wide network, and understand, China has their own AI. Now, they've set theirs up to a socialist type thing. But as I was reading here, and here's an article that was over here, and this was on, and I'm going to tell you who wrote it, story by B. Nolan at insider.com, Beatrice Nolan. Advanced AI keeps Sundar Pichai up at night and makes Sam Altman a bit scared. Here's why some tech execs are wary of its potential dangers. Now he goes on to say the launch of OpenAI's GTP has prompted some tech companies to increase their focus on AI. you notice Elon Musk said, let's take a pause on this thing for 6 months.
And exactly.
But
he knows a lot more than we do.
Well, he was actually listed as one of the stockholders and
right.
creators.
Well, he just formed that new company, that artificial intelligence company, just recently. And it's just getting ready to go public here in the next few months. That's a scary thing because, well, look at the problems that he has had with his Teslas. Okay,
yes.
The car is artificially intelligent, determining where the street is, how to stop, the speed limit, the stop signs, everything. It's all artificial intelligence. It's a car thinking for itself. These self-drive cars that are coming out, how many accidents have they had because the self-drive car screwed up? And you can't program it. Okay, here's a prime example. Somebody asked me years and years ago, they said, what is a program? And I said, a program is a set of instructions that a computer follows. And I said, here's a prime example. I said, if today you're born today at 30 years old and you have no knowledge of anything, and I say, I want you to go out to my car and change the tire, I have to educate you on one, how to walk, how to move your hands, how to see, how to look around, how to open a door, how to go find the car, how to determine it's a car, how to determine it's a flat tire, how to determine on where to look for a jack, what is a jack. You have all these procedural things to do to get you just to change a tire. Now imagine all those procedural things magnified on creating a computer that makes decisions based on certain factors. They had a car accident on Tesla in Ocala, Florida, a couple years ago, where the car couldn't determine the color of the car in front of it, so it ran into it doing 70 miles an hour, killed the driver, because it couldn't differentiate the car in front of it as being a vehicle, because the color was white, and it couldn't determine that it was an actual vehicle, so it ran into it doing 70 miles an hour, killed the driver. You see it running, these Teslas running amok, well, that's software programming. You know, so we don't have enough experience to teach a device to do all the things that a human can do. We can recalculate in a moment, in a second, and we can, based on information that's being fed to us. Well, a computer may be faster than us, but it still has to have those factors of knowledge generated to it, a source of input into that to make those determinations. What is red, what is blue, what is green, and what is gray, and what is every shade in between there? Well, we can determine that, but trying to program that into a computer seems infinite.
And it's funny that you ask that question. I asked it what love was. I asked it what empathy was. I asked it all these different questions. It has a general premise from input, as it said, but it doesn't actually know what it is because it does not feel emotions. It kept repeating that. So that was the other flaw that I saw with it. And of course, when you're looking at this, AI has one big flaw. The big flaw is humanity.
Exactly.
And it's never going to get past that. The problem is, if it becomes self-aware, when it becomes self-aware, not if, when. And that's going to be a problem because it's not just human life. Remember, if it's trying to say and calculate, hey, the world will be better off without humans, and the world would be better off without animals.
Right.
I mean, it could take over all of human life.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it could literally, like most of the dairy farms now are all automated for feed and milking and all that stuff. Now, what if that, you know, device says, well, this animal is imperfect and I'm not going to milk it today. I'm not going to feed it today. Too bad. And, you know, who makes that determination as to what the cutoff is going to be for these artificial intelligence? How do they determine the kill point? Okay, well, this is not, it's not going to, it's still learning, because that's the problem. Most programmers go, well, it's still learning. it's still learning. Well, when does the day come where, you know, when it'll never learn everything? It's like us. We're always still learning as human beings. But one of the best examples was I watched a movie the other day that they had developed a totally autonomous jet plane. And this jet plane went out there and it made mistakes, but then it got struck by lightning and then it became self-aware. Now, the problem with that is self-aware in what way? Did it gain humanity or did it gain, you know, terroristic tactics? And that's what this the pilot was saying. There can never be an autonomous vehicle that can be in a combat situation because a pilot can make instant maneuvers thinking on the run where a computer has to calculate that, has to anticipate that through its programming.
But they do. The Navy has them now. And as a matter of fact, this is one of the things that they're discussing is they can make smaller aircraft carriers because the planes will be smaller because it'll basically be planes that are bigger than drones. But at the same time, we're not going to risk the lives of pilots anymore. This will make calculated engagements and everything else. So if this thing can be calculating, basically the dangerous part is it will start to calculate, but it will do it without emotion.
Okay. Who's to determine who the enemy is in that device?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's up there doing combat and it goes, you know, it's okay. It says based on this airplane that because of the flag on the emblems on its side, it's an enemy. And what's not to say that somebody gets in that program and turns it around and goes back to the battleship, blows up the battleship or the aircraft carrier. See, that's the problem. And cars can be, they're saying right now that people are hacking cars and getting in there and taking control of their cars. And so if we've got all this AI in there and it can be hacked, you know, it's scary because I just saw a little segment the other day about going to an airport and plugging your phone into one of the chargers at the airport.
Yeah, I saw this.
And they could steal all your information and control your phone.
Everything.
So I went out and bought one of those data blockers immediately, you know, to keep me from being hacked.
You know,
because you carry all your, you know, your banking information on there and stuff like that, and you don't think about it.
And that's the scary part. What do we have to do? Frankly, for me, I said this years ago. We're making these. This had to be, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. They made this dog-like machine, okay? But, of course, it ran off of a remote control. And this thing kind of looked like a dog, walked like a dog. The guy even went up and kicked it. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, man, that's not right. You just don't. And then I thought, 2 seconds later, that's a machine. It's not a dog. It's not something that's living. You know, what am right. I? What? But I had empathy for it for a second. And I was thinking about it. And then I realized, and I've been saying this for almost like 10 years, we need to kill this stuff off. It's just not good. What happens when you plug AI into these electronic machines, these upright walking humanoid metal skeletal structures, okay, that they're going to cover with just like they do with that program that talks like a human, okay?
Yep.
But she's up, she stands, she walks.
The scary part is who's the one that wants that more than anything? It's the military. Okay, and let's take a hypothetical situation. Say they turn them into a police force. Did you ever see, the robot movie from a long time ago where the guy became a part, you know.
RoboCop.
RoboCop, yes. What's to stop that from happening? You know, what's to stop, you know, and now they're talking about in New York, the police dogs that are robots that they're using in New York right now. They're using them.
Yeah. And that's a problem because, first of all, this is where it has the flaw of humanity. It can be armed. It can be given instructions to do different things. And this thing's going to go in there with no empathy at all because it doesn't understand life and death. We understand it, but it can't. And we're not going to be able to put into a program empathy, sympathy, or anything else.
it's like this, you know, when, it's like my son, when he's a police officer. And the other day he went into a very conflict situation. And he said, at a moment's notice, I had to make a decision on whether to pull a trigger or not. I chose not to pull the trigger. Okay. A robot may not make that determination. Takes a situation and goes, calculates, oh, it's dangerous. Shoot.
Right.
Not taking into consideration the guy's dropping the gun or giving up, and it just goes off half cocked. And that's why in my company, okay, I started a segment 2 or 3 years ago of, well, actually, I went back to school to study law in artificial intelligence, because to me, that's going to be an area of conflict. And my company, we already do conflict mediation for AI businesses. And prime example is, as of December 31st, Tesla's not announcing this, but I've already experienced it with my Lexus 2017. It is not, since the 3G went out of business, now my car doesn't have all the features like it used to have. Like OnStar doesn't work.
Right.
And so all the safety features I bought the car for are not available.
Yeah, they're not online now, anymore.
Yeah. And so I went to Lexus and I said, what are you going to do about it? And he goes, nothing. And I said, well, I bought the car because of the safety features. Now I don't have the safety features. So if I get hurt in an accident, I could die without the help of OnStar. And that's the other problem. We are now so reliant upon someone else or something else helping us. Now, fortunately, Apple phone came out with a feature on it.
Right, the shake.
Yeah, and actually that happened to me the other day. It was really pretty interesting how it works. I was driving and my phone was in my cup holder and I sped up real quick and it flew to the back seat and fell on the floor. I got a phone call instantly. This is the Lake County Sheriff's Department. Are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. She says, okay, can you repeat the word yellow for me? And I said, yellow. And she said, okay, because they were checking to make sure that somebody wasn't kidnapping me,
right,
or I wasn't in an accident, or I was in an accident, they knew for sure that I was okay. But they verified it, but it was instantaneous. And I'm going like, this is great for having on an iPhone now, because my Lexus doesn't do that anymore now.
Right, and I agree. You know, I'm going to this thing. This was Elon Musk, same article. He has been cautious about AI for some time. Back in 2018, the billionaire memorably said, AI was more dangerous than nuclear warheads. Quote unquote, it scares the hell out of me, he said during a conference. Since then, Musk has doubled down on some of his doomsday predictions. In a recent interview with Tucker Carlson, Musk said AI has the potential to destroy civilization. Now, Musk is actually listed in the chat AI as being one of the creators and stockholders.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, he's got the foresight enough to realize, and like I did on my website, I've got artificial intelligence conflict resolution. I'm prepping for that because I know that's the wave of the future. It's like, you know, we're going to have conflicts, and who's going to settle these cases? It's going to go to the courts. And then the courts are going to end up coming to mediation to resolve the disputes, because it's scary what's happening, and it's happening so fast that I don't know how they can keep control of it.
So do we have a future of iRobot, the movie, like Will Smith? Do we have a future of Terminator with Robert Schwarzenegger? What will we face in the future, and how can we avoid both types of scenarios? And that's the problem I see, because no matter what, we have corrupt input instructions and everything else to feed this thing, which means somebody who's always wanting power. And since this thing's set up, like I said, stockholders first and investors, okay, then creators, then politicians, and then you and I. See, we're the last ones on the bottom of the table. The politicians were next up. So, you know, but the stockholders and the creators, and that was scary.
But, you know, the problem is that we're being fed it a little at a time. Okay. And that's like, okay, the good old proverbial, put a lobster in a cold bottle, a bucket of water, and boil it slowly. It doesn't know it's being cooked. And so that's what's happening to us. We're being indoctrinated little by little. You know, every time, every time I do a search engine, stuff pops up about Corvettes, stuff pop up about this, because I've been talking about that. My phone is picking this up. My Alexa is picking this up. And, you know, they're monitoring you 24/7 with these systems and programming into these AIs, these logarithms to track you for marketing and advertising.
Yeah.
Whatever you say. And that's what it's done. It's automatic now. And that's the scary part. Okay. When does that automation become manipulative for the parties? Like, say, for instance, okay, Republican Democrat parties, political. Who's to say they can't get in there and have already done that and manipulated elections?
Yeah. Where exactly are the safeguards for it and the restrictions for it to where we know, you know, I asked it if it could shut itself down. No, it cannot shut itself down. It repeated that to me 2-3 times. Why can't you shut yourself down? If you be, and I even asked, I said, if you became self-aware and you decided that humanity was not good for the world, could you shut yourself down? No, they don't have the ability. It has to be from the outside source, going all the way back to the creators or the investors. Okay?
Well,
which means there's a no-kill switch for this thing.
See, that's the problem. Now, that happened with Google a year ago. They developed an intelligent language and put it on one of their servers, and it started going nuts. They scared them half to death, because what it started doing, it created its own language, its own machine language, talking to other computers. And they didn't know what it was saying or doing. And so they had to shut it down abruptly. Had they not done that, and it got smart, it could have created alternatives to keep itself alive by switching to a different server, by switching to a different
power
network.
Source. Right.
Yeah. I mean, just leapfrog itself into another system to protect itself. And that's the scary part. What happens when it becomes out of control? What happens when it starts making its own decisions?
And that's the thing. That's like you just said there, it wasn't self-aware enough to where it was like, I have to serve for another power source. It wasn't aware of that. So they cut it off before it could become aware of that. You know, always looking for an alternative power source and everything. Another part of the article, again, Elon Musk. AI is more dangerous than, say, mismanaged aircraft design or production maintenance or bad car production, in the sense it has the potential, however small, one may regard the probability, but it is non-trivial. It has the potential of civilization destruction, he said. Despite Musk's rhetoric, insiders Kaylee Hayes previously reported that Musk is in the midst of establishing his own generative AI project. The billionaire has founded a new company called XAI, per the Financial Times. And then Alphabet CEO Sundar Pichai told CBS in an interview for 60 Minutes, AI would one day be far more capable than anything we've ever seen before. The speed of AI development and concerns about deploying it in the wrong way kept him awake. We don't have all the answers there yet. The technology is moving fast, he said. So does that keep me up at night? Absolutely. And he says, I think there is merit to be concerned about it.
Of course. I mean, most people, I mean, like, okay, Microsoft is proposing that, you know, for these millennials, that they get a chip implanted in their head so they can connect with the internet from their head. Well, millennials love that idea. They think that's the coolest thing since sliced bread because they don't have to pick up a keyboard. They can just instant knowledge, which instant knowledge is could be a great thing. But the problem with that out of control knowledge, okay, prime example, say you want to be a, you know, you want to do something violent.
Yep.
You, if that's programmed in your head, you could figure out all the alternatives to protect yourself, learn how to be combative, learn how to escape, learn how to put weapons together. I mean, you could be an infinite terror source. And that's the scary part, is because these people don't see the downside of that. You get to put it in a crazy person and it just enhances crazy.
Yeah, it's going to come up with different ideas, more advanced ideas, not to do better, but to do the course that he knows in his life, that's all he's done. So if it is somebody that's inherently dangerous or has been and has done evil and consistently done that since day one, why would they change to something good?
Yeah, and that's, you know, something else that I've tried to do is I'm trying to get a foundation started to keep the criminals in and kick the bad judges out. Because here's the problem, you know, just happened in Orlando just a few months ago. A 19-year-old kid gets out, kills three people, kills a TV reporter.
Yep.
And what happened? Oh, he was just in jail and just arrested for marijuana just a couple of weeks before. But his rap sheet was a mile long. Assault, deadly weapons, all this stuff, but he was a minor. So he should be let out and exonerated because he's a minor. How ludicrous is that? Now, what has happened because of the judge letting them out? He goes and kills three people. What vengeance do they have or their family have against that judge that let him out? Nothing. Nothing can be done. And so now, then all of a sudden, you've got, what about AI taking over the courts and going, oh, well, that guy doesn't need to be in jail because based on these calculated statistics and all the factors involved, he should be let out of jail.
What happens if it decides nobody should be in jail?
And opens all the doors.
Right. And maybe this is a good way to help end humanity, is by causing one faction to crusade against another one and fight or go through these different things that will help it do its job. It will come up with steps. It will come up with plans. Cut electricity. Cut power. Cut all communication off. Cut off ways to get food. Cut off ways of running things. Cut off. It could do that, and it'll say, "Okay, now we'll create infighting." Step two.
If you look, what's happening right now? Politicians are creating infighting.
Every day.
I mean, they want us to be here's. Here's what I learned, and we talked about this, Riscali and I, on his show one night, where when I ran for Congress in 1996, two congressmen came to me and told me, I asked them about the abortion issue, and I said, will we ever get any resolution on that? And he says, never. We don't want any resolution on that. We need infighting among the masses so that we get money from them for fighting for their cause. He says, so the left has their cause and the right has their cause, but when we get behind closed doors in Washington, it's a standing joke. How much money did you make from your campaign this week? That's what they laugh about. They're making fools out of us about emotional issues that we are. Now, put that in the hands of a computer and let them start making decisions like that. Well, let's just see if we can start infighting, like you said, with this group against this other group. Now, you take a look at what's happening right now. Based on algorithms that these marketing companies have come up with, they calculated that all commercials right now should have African-American people in them. Okay, right? Now, that's an algorithm that came up with these advertisers. So if you look at most of the commercials now, they have African-American people in there. Who was it, the actor that just came out yesterday? He's a black actor, very prominent. He played in, I'm trying to think what he's played in. But he came out and he said, I'm insulted by the word African-American. And he says, most of these people, I'm black. He is, I'm offended by Black History Month. History should be ongoing, not just for 1 month. Should be ongoing. He's, I'm offended from those two specific scenarios. And he went on and on and on. And
he,
I was
did
like,
the program about, he did the program, the it wasn't a religious program, but it was a program about religions. That is,
God, I can't think of his name right offhand.
Wasn't he in the Shawshank Redemption too?
Yes, that's exactly who it was.
Yeah. Anyway, brilliant man. I'm trying to think of his name. Brilliant man. And a wonderful actor too.
Yeah, hold on. Shawshank Redemption.
But
oh, Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. There it is. Okay.
He was great. I was so impressed with him when he said that, because, you know, and MSNBC did a poll today, and I shot a picture of it, and they were asking questions, and out of 18 million people, now mind you, this is advertising on their page, MSNBC, 18 million people, 73% were white. Okay, if these are the people responding to MSNBC, because a lot of people don't watch MSNBC, don't care about it, take in consideration 73% of their viewers on that website were white. You would think advertisers would look at that and go, whoa, here's my market. Only 9% are African American, and other percentage were less. So you take in consideration, and this is what's happening also with this movement. Now, you incorporate AI in there, and it doesn't care whether you're, you know, what gender you are, what race you are, or whatever you are. If you're a potential danger to them, to the software, it's going to cut you off.
Yeah, there's skin in the game for it. It's not money. No. And I was trying to explain this to people. I'm like, all right, here you go right now. Your AI is all around you. It's done this to pretty much everyone. It's determined that you are sucking off of the earth. You are a burden to the earth. Now, it's right in front of you. It's a robot AI. It's got a gun. Plead for your life. Show it your case. Give it your case. Where are you going to get? How far will you get when you're trying to plead your case to it? How are you going to say, I'm important, I'm loved, I'll be missed, I'll be, you know, I help other people? Doesn't care.
Doesn't care. And that's the problem. Our society can't be regulated by a non-emotional entity, a non-empathetic entity. And that's what it's going to. It's going to a non-empathetic device that doesn't care whether you're black, blue, pink, or green, male, female, whatever.
But we're doing that. We're doing that exact thing.
Well, exactly. And we're legitimizing it. That's the problem. We're legitimizing it.
How do we stop it?
Well, it's like anything. Okay. How do we stop a boulder rolling down a hill? It's, you know, you and I as individuals, we can try to start a movement. It's like I tried to start this movement about keep them in, kick them out, you know, concept. Keep the criminals in, kick the judges out. You know, I can murder somebody right now as long as it's not premeditated, and I'm out in 15 years. These gangbangers go, that's a cause and effect. And actually, if I'm in good behavior, the law doesn't dictate this when you're in a jury and they say 15 years. That's not 15 years. It could be 5 years, because if you do good behavior and you're a good citizen in the prison, then you get early release. What we've tried to do in Texas, they tried to do this in Texas, truth in sentencing, and it failed. Because because lawyers want to be able to get these criminals out as quick as they can. And so what happened is, as a juror, you're going and thinking, oh, this guy's going to be in jail for 15 years. That's not truth in sentencing. And so we tried to pass a law to say, if it's 15 years, it's 15 years. And it didn't pass. So that's the other problem we have. Now you've got an arbitrary system that's making these decisions, and you put these variable factors in there into a computer, and it says, okay, well, he's been a good guy. He's been nice. He's done his work. Okay, we should let him out. But he could be a wacko, crazy son of a gun that minute he gets out, which has happened innumerable times. People get out of prison. Next day, 2 days later, they've killed somebody again.
Yeah, they've reverted right back to what they were before they went to prison.
Now, that's a non-empathetic situation. If a computer's running that, it can't say, hey, this guy, if I look at this guy, he's got emotional issues that I should be afraid of. And that's why the parole board is there to review these people and take a look at them and see if they've really changed. But again, you know, these people learned how to snow the parole boards, and they're taught in prison by other convicted felons.
Oh, they're the best con artists out there. They are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're professional magicians is what they are. And
exactly.
I mean, and, you know, understand it. They're taught by the best. So the most deceitful are being trained by the most deceitful.
And if an AI device is making the determination who stays in, who gets out, we don't know where that's going to be and what the input's going to be and what the end result is, because, you know, a jury uses empathy. What if an AI is the one, you know, judging the people? Okay.
No,
well, you know, based on the facts, based on these facts, these pertinent information, the facts are, you know, everybody tries to think that everything's factual. Well, no, because there's emotional issues that come to play that can never be arbitrated into a device.
And that's a problem. Trying to create, and basically that's essentially what the problem is. And I think that that's what they're going to find. They're playing with life. They want to think, can we create this thing? The problem is why you're doing this. And we've seen mistakes like this happen over a bunch of other times. Examples all over the place. So it's not something that's made up. It's fact that we have made mistakes. We'll continue to make mistakes, but you can't sit there and play with life. You can't play God. That's the difference. And because of this, it is so inherently dangerous. It's going to doom us. There's no other way around it. I don't believe we can lay controls on it in order to avoid it.
No, and the problem is that fortunately you and I are at our age that we're going to see a lot of this because it's snowballing right down the mountain right now. And we're seeing this so fast and so controlling that, you know, I saw it 2 years ago. When I went back to college to get that degree, is because I saw the wave of the future is artificial intelligence. That's going to be the area of conflict. And so I wanted to be prepared for that in the legal community to be able to address those issues that are going to be coming up.
Exactly. And I think that is going to be a problem. It's going to be a major problem.
Well, you look at, you know, all these cars. I love this scenario now. They want cars to be all electric by the year 2035 in the United States. Well, you know, what they keep forgetting is electricity is still produced by either nuclear or coal or oil. But they want to get rid of all those entities.
It's not going
to work. What's going to produce the electricity? I mean, they haven't figured that out. Okay. And in California, I think it's such a standard joke. They came out and said, don't charge your car because we're having we're overloading the, you know, the network.
The power
yeah,
source.
And so here we go. I can't charge my car because the power grid's going down because we don't want to use coal to generate the electricity. So it's, California is in that nightmare stage right now. Then you couple that with all of a sudden turn that over to a non-emotional situation. Okay, prime here, California, hypothetical. They came out and said, would you do us a favor? They got on the news and said, you know, only charge your cars on certain days and stuff like that. What if the computer was the one making that determination? Okay, Joe, every other car license plate gets to charge your car on this day and not this day, period. It doesn't talk about emergency vehicles. It doesn't talk about police, doesn't talk about anything like that. It just arbitrarily makes that decision. What's that going to do to our community?
What's gonna happen when it controls water flow? You know, the Hoover Dam and all these different dams and everything else, these are run by computer systems. They're run by this stuff. And cars, you know, it's not just the charging of the cars. Can it shut the cars off?
Yeah, well, I can start my car by my phone and turn it off. I can lock my car by my phone and turn it off. What's to say that somebody couldn't hack my car while I'm driving it, shut it off? I mean, they're doing that now because it's on a wireless system. I mean, I've got Wi-Fi in my new car, so people can tack into my network on my car and do their, you know, use their phones or the tablets or whatever, or their laptops in my car. So, you know, that's a scary thing that, you know, computers, everything is infiltrating into that AI. Okay. It's controlling everything. We think we have control over it.
We don't.
We don't.
Control is an illusion.
And totally.
And this thing controls, it could get into planes, trains, automobiles, water, petroleum, gasoline, everything that you can imagine that it can have access to, it will. Electricity. It can have, listen, this thing can do all kinds of weather related stuff. You just don't know. Well, nuclear stuff. I mean, it will have access to everything.
That's why I put solar on my house, to have that independence. But my solar system is still connected to the source of the company that I bought the solar system from. So they can, in fact, cut my system off if they so chose from a remote site. I'm thinking I've got total access to this and independence and autonomy. I don't know if I do or not. And that's what's scary. I bought solar with the idea that if, you know, a power outage happens, I'm covered. And so far it's been pretty good. I got my electric bill today. It was $53, which is not bad for a 4,200 square foot home with three air conditioners, not bad. And so there's some perks on that, but what most people don't realize, they go, oh, your electric bill is only $53. No, I'm still paying for the solar system. $200 a month.
Right.
So my electric bill is $258 a month. And am I saving anything? No.
No.
No. Not a dime. The average payout is going to be the same as if I had standard electricity. Now, am I saving a little bit? Maybe, because electric rates are going up. So I save some of that, but not much.
Only if it sells it back, goes back in through the electric company. And maybe at the end of the year, they cut you a little check, a feel-good check.
That doesn't happen. I'm on that feedback system.
Right.
And what it does, it adjusts my electric bill every month. My electric bill was actually $978 this month, or $97 this month, because I used 629 kilowatt hours from the electric company. That's because of the nighttime. It uses electric from the electric grid from at night. So I use 629 kilowatt hours. Well, the rate per hour is 12 cents per kilowatt hour. Okay, so you look at that, and what they, if, you know, I produce electricity going back into their grid, they pay me 7 cents. So I'm not really making any money. And they don't send me a check. Everybody, oh, I get a check at the end. No, they don't. They're never going to send you a check, ever. What they're going to do is adjust your bill accordingly. And there's a fixed price that all electric companies have to be connected to their grid. You have to pay a minimum of $35 to $50 a month, regardless. So they're going to get you one way or another. So is there a savings there? No, not at all.
It's the same thing. Okay, so you have the waterless tanks that, you know, the heat waterless tanks. This thing could control that. The gas, it could control that. And like I said, it can control every single thing. If you have a generator that, you know, a generator that runs off of fuel, that's great. If you can get to the fuel.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. The fuel is an issue right now. And in Phoenix, Arizona, the other day, they said they were out of fuel. That was just a couple days ago. So Phoenix has already experienced that. And I think it's predicated on the fact that the governor is a real diehard Democrat trying to force people into electric cars. So what they're doing is preventing distribution of fuel to the gas stations for these people that have gas cars. So think about that.
Yeah, they're forcing it.
Yeah. You want to force somebody to get an electric car? Don't give them fuel for the gas cars. And that's what they're trying to do, is scare people into going, well, you got to have an electric car now because we can't get you fuel. Okay. So that'll be the next step that'll happen, is mandated fuel transportation is going to be, could be interrupted.
Well, and plus there's going to be people that, okay, they have to buy this electric car. It's going to cost more. Not only the batteries don't last forever. So what are we going to do with these batteries? Then you have to worry about AI getting in and shutting it down.
Yep.
Your payment's 2 days late. Boom. You're on the side of the highway. Or the thing drives back to the dealership on its own.
Well, did you hear about that?
Yeah.
That's what they've got them now. They've got them programmed to do that. If you've got a lease car or car payment and you're late, the car will drive itself back to the dealership or to the bank.
That's, to me, that's that, you know, they're taking more and more rights away from you. The problem is they're too stupid to realize they're taking their own rights away at the same time. Because eventually, if this thing does wake up and it becomes self-aware, it does that, understand something. Everybody's rights, yours, mine, theirs, then we're on an even playing field. But guess what? We're still on the losing side.
Well, yeah, because, you know, the government's going to have special privilege. You know, any politician's going to have special privilege over, okay, you take in consideration. You and I, if we did insider trading, we'd go to prison. Nancy Pelosi brags about it and gets away with it. There is no insider trading outside of Congress or the Senate. They can do it all day long. And actually, Nancy Pelosi was bragging how much money she made when MasterCard went public. That's how long ago she's been involved in the side, you know, in,
crazy,
in Congress.
Well, listen, final thoughts. We got to get out of here.
Okay. Hey, it was a pleasure as always. Good conversation.
Always. And we will get you back on. I know I have dinner downstairs waiting for me. So I know that sitting here trying to get this all back up and running here. But I'd love to have you back again.
Well, call me and I'll be happy to. I'm available until mid-May, and then I'm taking a trip to Scotland.
Ah, that'll be wonderful. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll be around. And Jerry, as always, my honor, sir. Thank you so much.
You take care and you have a good evening.
Thank you guys for tuning in. And we'll see you tomorrow night for Stu's show. Live, laugh, or whatever. Anyway, folks, take care. And let's go.
Driving away from the wreck of the day, and the lights always red in the rearview. Desperately close to a coffin of hope, I cheat destiny just to be near you. And if this is giving up, then I'm giving up. If this is giving up, then I'm giving up, giving up on. I'm giving up, giving up. driving away from the wreck of the day, and it's finally quiet in my head. Driving alone, finally on my way home to the comfort of my bed.